This afternoon, we're going to spend a few moments looking at a subject that the Bible addresses in several places. It's a subject that Jesus spoke to multiple times while he was teaching mankind, while he walked this earth. It's something that we likely all have struggled with to one degree or another. But it's also something that some of us may struggle with to a greater degree. Something that Jeff spoke to us briefly about on his invitation Wednesday night. Something that some of us experienced last night in front of the television starting a little after 8 o'clock. We're going to look at the topic of anxiety, as been announced. Anxiety, it's a subject that needs careful attention when we consider it from a scriptural perspective. If we're not careful, we can come to some wrong conclusions if we don't consider all of God's wisdom on the subject. We know what anxiety is. Sleepless nights fretting about something that has happened, something that's going to happen, or most often probably won't happen, but might. Fear of what the next day will bring. Even panic attacks, sweating, shortness of breath, increased heart rate. It can take the form of just a simple, worrisome attitude, which can be an impediment to our lives physically and spiritually, or it can become a disorder, often classified as clinical anxiety. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting about 18% of the population. Just like depression, another common condition that often goes hand in hand with anxiety, there are many ways that anxiety can be managed and treated, including therapy and even medication. But as with every aspect of our lives, God's Word has some wisdom that can help when we're faced with some level of anxiety facing us. This afternoon, we're going to look at some, and only some, of the things that God has told us can help us manage and overcome those nagging, anxious thoughts, and perhaps even more serious forms of anxiety in our lives. And hopefully, we can learn and be reminded of some things as we consider this subject together this afternoon. First, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, if you would. The readings will be on the screen, but if you'd like to follow along in your own Bible, I encourage you to do that. Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." We're going to use this account to remind us something that is obvious but very important when it comes to being anxious. Dealing with anxiety properly involves prioritizing or focusing upon the spiritual, not the physical. Every single day of our lives, we're being inundated with physical things that vie for our time and our attention. Our jobs, our homes, our schools, our relationships with friends, our relationships with our families, our health and fitness. All of these things require a certain amount of time, a certain amount of our attention, but none of them by themselves is the most important thing. Martha had gotten focused on her home and being a good host. While hospitality is important and does have spiritual significance, her mind was not on the spiritual, but purely the physical tasks of serving her guests. To her, the role of being a hostess had taken her complete focus. She was literally serving the Lord, but in actuality, she was not where she needed to be, both physically and mentally. She cared very much about this task, and she also cared about the fact that she was not receiving help from her sister. This had her troubled. As we so often do, not only did she let her anxiety affect herself, but she questioned why Jesus was not just as troubled as she was about what was going on. Surely he would have noticed that Mary was not helping as she should, and that should trouble him too. But Jesus, as we would expect, knew that there was something of very great spiritual significance taking place. He was actually there to feed Mary and Martha was something infinitely more valuable than he was there to receive. Martha's anxiety was preventing her from receiving it because she was focused on the physical. Notice that Jesus does not tell her to not be anxious or not to be concerned or to not care. He seems to indicate that there is something to be deeply concerned, even in ways anxious about, but just one thing. Not the many physical distractions, social pressure, her reputation, growing bitterness toward her sister. Those words he was speaking, that teaching from the mouth of God, that was the one thing worth being deeply concerned about. That was something that would not be taken away, Jesus says. We, of course, know that everything that is physical, from our house to our bodies, will go away, but that which is spiritual will not. A couple chapters later, in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 31, we read, "Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus, in his teaching to Mary, and hopefully Martha, was opening the door to his kingdom for them. Martha's ability to impress her guests with her home, if that is what she was trying to do, was meaningless. She would be better off selling that home and giving it away and having the earthly reputation of someone who couldn't afford to entertain company if that meant she would shift her focus to the spiritual, if that meant that she would start storing up treasures in the heavens. Likewise, if there are physical concerns in our lives crowding out the spiritual things, we have to learn to prioritize the spiritual, or perhaps, if we're unable to do that, to eliminate some of those physical things from our lives altogether. In the parable of the sower, we read about the seed sown among the thorns. Matthew 13:22, "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." The cares of the world. That could include physical possessions. That could include some physical thing that is going on in your life that has you distracted. That could be some really good physical thing, some blessing, or some really terrible physical thing that you are enduring. We can let either lead us into anxiety. Notice that Jesus never told Martha not to be anxious, but he almost seems to say that there is only one thing worth being anxious about. And perhaps the most well-known text on anxiety, we looked at this on Wednesday, I believe Jesus is talking similarly. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Then verse 30, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. And then he narrows what he means to include physical things. I don't think he is actually saying do not be anxious, period, or even do not be anxious about your life, period, assuming you properly define your life. Your life is more than the physical, is what he's getting at in verse 25. In verse 31, he says, do not be anxious. But again, he is narrowing that anxiety to those physical concerns. We are supposed to be deeply concerned about spiritual things. If we have some sort of rift in our relationship with God, then that should make us anxious. We must address that. If we have never been saved by being baptized into Christ, then thoughts of an eternity in hell should keep us up at night. We can be anxious about the lost. We can be concerned about the spiritual condition of our children. We can even be anxious about things our spiritual family is experiencing. Paul experienced this. He wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 28 and 29. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Was this an anxiety that Paul should have worked on eliminating? I don't think so. This was an anxiety born out of his focus on the spiritual. We'll talk a little bit more about this as the lesson progresses. When there's a physical trial in my life, I must recognize the spiritual side of that trial. That is where my focus needs to be. And yes, I may be burdened with care and concern and even some anxiety. How is this trial affecting me spiritually? How is it affecting someone else spiritually? What are some things that can be done to help? Sometimes we have no influence upon the physical aspects of a situation, but we can have a great influence on the spiritual. We'll get back to this idea in a later point and see that we don't just have to succumb to anxiety, especially anxiety that overwhelms us in these situations. But first, we're going to look at another aspect of anxiety that's important for us to understand. We're going to read from Psalm 37 again that Jordan read for us just a couple moments ago. Psalm chapter 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. We've talked about our need to focus on the spiritual to minimize the amount of anxiety that we have. Specifically, the kind of anxiety that is about the physical things in this life. Things that we have or situations that we have to deal with. This passage from Psalms alludes a couple of times to fretting over those who commit evil. In verse 2, the reason that we should not fret ties directly back to our last point. Evildoers are temporary. They will not last long. Their ability to cause harm is limited to this physical life. They are not part of that one thing that is necessary for us to worry about. Like Jesus said in Matthew 10, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Do not fret about them. But while Psalm 37 addresses fretting or being anxious about evildoers, there is something mentioned at the end of our reading that applies to anxiety in general. We're not going to dwell on the very important advice at the beginning of verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. But we're going to focus more of our time on verse 8. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. It's important for us to recognize this fact. The reason we're looking at this subject is not to condemn those who struggle with anxiety. We all struggle with anxiety to varying degrees. It is not even to state that anxiety is necessarily sinful. While the Bible tells us not to be anxious multiple times, I don't know that we can conclude that it is a sin when anxious thoughts and feelings bother us. Some may disagree with that. But I see the scripture describe an anxious spirit as something that should be lessened as spiritual maturity is reached, an area for growth, not necessarily a sinful condition. We saw Jesus tell us not to be anxious in Matthew 6. Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 talks about those that are unmarried and describes them as anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit, as to those opposed to those who are anxious about worldly things. Paul casts anxiety about the things of the Lord, using the same Greek word that is recorded from Jesus, in a good light. He uses that same word in chapter 12 to talk about the unity that we believers are supposed to have. And he says in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, but that members may have the same anxiety for one another. Most translations don't use the word anxiety there, but it's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 6. Regardless, what we must understand is the importance of trying to overcome our anxieties, especially those pointing toward the temporary, because of what anxiety does. Anxiety accomplishes no good thing. Instead, it tends only to evil. If we dwell in our anxieties, even the ones related to spiritual things, they can get the better of us and overcome us. They can dominate us, which Paul reminds us that we cannot be dominated by anything. Our anxieties will lead to sin. If we are the type of person that is constantly worrying, we will never become the people that God wants us to be. We will be people that cannot move our thoughts from wonderful spiritual blessings God has given us and instead become fixated on what is wrong around us, or even what might go wrong around us. Our anxieties will lead us away from God, away from His promises and His character and His blessings, and toward evil. They can keep us from being active and involved in our community of believers. They can keep us from being active in reaching out to the lost. They can lead us to covetousness and stinginess when we worry about where our necessities for life come from. They can lead us to unkindness and unforgiving attitudes when we worry about how we could possibly be taken advantage of in some physical or emotional way. No good thing comes from being anxious about the things of this earthly life. Instead, fretting tends only to evil. Our last couple of points are going to come from Philippians 4, if you want to turn over there with me. Philippians chapter 4, going to begin in verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here is another extreme statement about anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything. Using that same root word that Jesus used in Matthew 6, and that must be reconciled with the other ways that Paul uses this word. Again, in this passage, we see the allusion back to the concept of focusing our attention on the spiritual, the eternal. You see it? The Lord is at hand. Our appointment with our Creator is right around the corner. Whatever time we spend worrying about the things of this life, fretting over what may happen instead of preparing for that appointment, is time wasted. We have to find ways to elevate our thoughts beyond the physical to the one thing that is necessary. One thing that can help us do that is to supplicate God. We need to pray, asking God to help us navigate those physical hurdles that pop up in our lives. The more we ask God for His help, the more we remember that He is there to help. Asking God for help. That's what the word supplicate means. When we aren't praying, we can sometimes forget about God. We can also be reminded that He wants us to not rely on ourselves, but to fully rely on Him when we're busy praying. Jesus prayed in the model prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." He said, "Do not be anxious about what you will eat," but He also supplicated or asked God for food. The idea is let go and let God. Communicate to God about our needs, even the needs that He already knows about, which is all of them, and then leave them with Him. Not that we sit back and do nothing when God has asked us to work or to do certain things, but we do those things, and then we let God have the rest, and we let them go, not holding on to them in our minds with worry. Do not be anxious about them, because He cares for us and will provide for us, and all things will work together for good if we love and serve Him. 1 Peter 5 reminds us that God wants us to cast everything upon Him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. He cares. We are not in this alone. The benefits of prayer and managing our anxiety are not realized by just praying now and then, or just when things get hard. We must make it a habit so that it becomes who we are. Casting all our anxieties, Peter writes, which would include the temporal and the spiritual. Notice verse 6 of Philippians 4 says, "In everything we are to make our requests known to God." And finally, our last point is the rest of this verse from Philippians 4. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We cannot leave out the aspect of expressing thankfulness to God. It is perhaps the most crucial aspect of managing our anxiety. Anxiety tends to come when we focus on the negative, whether many things or one thing in particular. We worry, we fret, we lose sight of the positives. Even in this physical life, there are always things to be thankful for. We must try to appreciate those things. We must spend the time to give thanks to God for those things. That exercise helps us to remember those positives and not get so caught up in the negative. God's word over and over says to be content. It says, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with your wages. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Being content can be a cure for many anxieties, but contentment doesn't just happen. It grows when we start practicing expressions of thankfulness. When we develop the habit of taking the time to stop, reflect on our blessings, and tell God, thank you. Even when we may struggle to see the blessings in this life that are all around us, we should always be able to remember the promises of God. We are not promised a great life here on this earth, even though we almost always have things better than we realize, but we are promised a wonderful eternal life with God who cares for us if we place our faith and trust wholly in him. We need to be constantly thanking God for that. What more could he give us? What better promise could there be? What better thing could we have to hope for? Are we a cup half full or a cup half empty kind of person? As Christians, we should be people that sees our cup overflowing with blessings. There's a promise in this passage that may have its ultimate fulfillment in heaven, but most definitely plays out here in this life too. When we make our requests known to God with thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard our hearts. Our hearts and minds can be settled, calmed. Our hearts and minds are fragile things that are under constant attack from this world. Anxiety, depression, and other related struggles. We need someone to guard us from that. God has told us how to allow his peace to guard us from that. That is something that we should try to take advantage of. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful in this verse isn't just a throw-in or a by the way. It is an aspect of obtaining that peace that, when we are struggling with anxiety, we desperately need. Be thankful. I know that there are likely many here today that are struggling significantly with anxiety. Before we conclude, I want to speak to those that aren't struggling, at least majorly, with anxiety right now. Are we aware of the battles being fought by those that we're worshiping with, we're serving with, we're working with, we're socializing with? I'm not big on using memes and whatnot in sermons, but this statement that floats around Facebook has always stood out to me. I fought battles that were ravaging me inside, but things seemed normal on the outside. We're all constantly dealing with things that don't always show up on the outside. It may be anxiety or depression or guilt or obsession or confusion. Let us be kind, and maybe more importantly, let us be thoughtful about our words and our actions. Let us consider that complaining about petty things isn't going to help that person that's anxious about the things of this life. That our worries can feed the worries of those around us. That being thankful and positive can help someone get out of a spiral of anxiety and can even save a soul. I need reminded of these things as much as anyone. But let us consider, even if we've got most of our anxieties under control, that many around us are dealing with things we'd never know, yet our actions and example can affect them greatly. Are you struggling with being anxious about things of this earthly life? Even if the things that you're worrying about are very real, very difficult, heavy things, Anxiety is something that we must try to stave off. We must try to put those things into a spiritual perspective. If we are to be anxious, there's only one thing that is necessary or important enough to become anxious about. It is our spiritual fate. We must recognize that when we fret about the temporal, that it tends only to evil. We must try not to linger in those anxious thoughts, but find ways to overcome them. One of the ways is to supplicate or to ask God for his help. We must realize that he is able and willing to help with the load that we are carrying. We must continually ask for that help and trust in it. And when we talk to him, we must not forget to express thankfulness for the good things in our life, especially for the hope that we have of an eternal life in heaven. Do you have that hope today? If you have not been baptized into Christ, then you cannot be hopeful for your future. One thing is necessary to be anxious about. And you should be very anxious about where you're going to go once this life is over. If you're anxious about that, then why not ease that anxiety by replacing it with the hope of heaven? We can baptize you right now for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need to do that this afternoon, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, we'd be privileged to be able to help you with that at this time. If you do, please come as we stand and sing together.